Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This week, more of the fucking same. Lovely, free, wonderful life. And yet more emotions than I'm trying to process. Plus, the interview with a delightful poly couple who've been together for 14 years, most of it in a committed, non-monogamous relationship, while raising four kids. It's my unconventional life. Use the force, Luke. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is my unconventional life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? Seems like every week there are new emotions, so I'm doing my best to try to not judge them or react to them, and instead give them time to sit and process. My relationship with Eri has become very intensive, being back here in LA for an extended period of time and literally spending every day together. It's not a bad thing in and of itself. There's just a notion that in some ways I'm limiting other aspects of my life because of it. Figuring out exactly what I want, though, is easier said than done. Do I want to spend more time on my own or with other friends? Sure. Do I feel bored spending so much time with Eri? No, certainly not. I enjoy it all. I think some of this perhaps comes from my dad. I remember the one thing he used to do to relax on his own was to go fishing. And sometimes he'd take me too, and I can still recall those dark, cold, early mornings, chugging along winding country roads to the reservoir, his window cracked while he smoked his second or third cigarette of the day. There was one time in particular, though, as we were walking alongside the water, and the sky had lightened but the sun was still hidden beyond the horizon, that he told me how he loved my mum, my sister and me, but he really appreciated and enjoyed the time he got to spend alone there. He's been gone for about 2 years now, but he's not gone from my heart. In some ways, I wish I could have one more conversation with him, but I remember about a year or so before he died, trying to talk to him about having kids and big life decisions, and he really didn't have a whole lot to say. And that was okay. I got to know him over 39 years of love and support and occasional advice that I'll do my best to pass on to my children. And he'll always be an integral part of who I am. I met up with Andy again this week. Long-time listeners will remember her as someone I met through the Infinite Love Facebook group, who I felt for a time might be my muse in the world of non-monogamy. After things got more serious with Eri in March, however, she decided to pull away, not dissimilarly to Venus, feeling, rather astutely in hindsight, that Eri and my relationship was going to develop, and I wouldn't be able to have the relationship she may have wanted. So we didn't really see each other or talk for a while, but then she reached back out, and after listening to a recent episode of the podcast and hearing some of my conflicts, she reached out again and we got a coffee to chat, and to some extent, she is still my muse. We talked all about my conflicts surrounding monogamy and also my hang-ups about having sex just for sex without any other emotions or expectations to necessarily do it again. I realised, I think from growing up in England, where our sense of sex is still oftentimes tied up in guilt and shame, that I've always had some kind of negative judgement about sex for just sex without love and or rapport and trust. Like it was somehow less. And yes, it does seem to be the consensus that when there are other caring, loving emotions involved, it is better. But But perhaps there's value in just the sole physical act of it too. Albeit when both, or all, people involved are on the same page about what it is. Perhaps it would help me to just get over it. I mean, it's not that I haven't had sex without emotions. It's just it never really did that much for me, and I felt a little dirty or shallow or awkward after it. But again, perhaps, like everything, that's more my perspective and my preconceived notions than an objective fact. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but part of the reason I was so drawn to Eri in a sexual and romantic way was how she was open to non-monogamy and how she loved me without conditions. Now, she's had more experience than me outside of socially normal sexual expression, I'd say, and the idea of exploring those avenues together was floated around too. There was some conflict, however, when discussing the details, because I always wanted to have feelings for anyone that I was sexual with, whereas she saw being with anyone else outside of our primary relationship being with someone we didn't know and or wouldn't see again. So Andy suggested, why not start with me just watching her and another girl? That way I wouldn't feel the conflict about not having feelings for the girl. So instead of a threesome, maybe a two and a halfsome. But to be honest, while we're in this honeymoon stage of our relationship, trying to build trust and rapport, not to mention trying to have a kid, maybe now's not the time. But the fact that we can talk about it openly and discuss just makes me love her that much more. Andy had had somewhat of a paradigm shift in her relationship too. After a time, she had opened up her relationship, feeling the desire to be non-monogamous. After a while of doing so, however, their relationship grew a little strained, and eventually they'd had a conversation where they talked about even splitting up completely. But from that came instead an agreement of no expectations for the future. And with that, suddenly something changed. There was no longer the passive aggressiveness behind some of his questions, and instead, nothing but a genuine desire to see her happy and fulfilled. So again, as far as I go, I just need to be present and not worry about what ifs. Focus instead on what is. If it helps, accept that the sexual, romantic side of any relationship may not last, and be okay with that. And just enjoy it now. There's an idea. Enjoy my life now. So I have a question. What do you all think about the new music I've been using for the last part of the monologue each week? Does it help, or does it take you out of it? Actually, I've had somewhat of a funny realization, because I've always asked for comments about the show, but when Andy asked me how someone would comment on the show, for the life of me, I didn't know. So I've got it sorted. For any comments, questions, etc., etc., you can email me at myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com. That's a mouthful. It's myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com. If you have any poly questions about your own life too, that'd be great. The interview this week then is with Melissa and Wayne, a wonderful couple I met through SPLA who've been together for 14 years and are raising now their last three kids in an open, committed relationship. They are kind, conscionable, and interested, and I found in them a true sense of commitment to each other, proving you can commit to each other without having to commit to monogamy. That's fucking profound. And a lot of people are doing it, and arguably have been doing it for a long time now. And while I was editing the interview, it actually created some really valuable thoughts in my head. Like, how do you hold on to someone you value and care about deeply? Well, someone told me this recently. Be the best version of you that you can. The most loving, truthful, honest, hard-working, independent, carpe dieming person possible. And then the fear goes, because otherwise we're putting our happiness in someone else, when it is always to be found in ourselves. Okay, it's Thursday evening in Studio City, California, North Hollywood to be precise. And this is an interview that I've looked forward to for a long time, and it's one we've been trying to set up for a while, but we finally have Melissa and Wayne in the house. How are you guys?
Good. I'm glad to finally be here.
Yeah. When did we meet originally?
Gosh, I remember I just started school.
Okay.
And I think that was kind of the whole challenge of us getting here, because I just started school and I was like, I don't know, you know, so much going on.
Yeah.
So that was about a year ago.
Wow.
In August, it would be a year.
Right. Yeah. And a lot's changed, well, at least in my life since then.
Ours too.
Yeah.
Ours too. We've
because we got it. We have a baby.
Yeah, I was right. Gonna say,
so let's start at the beginning. You guys have been together for donkey's years, right? Like for a long time.
14 years. Yeah. Married. 10 together for 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Together for 14 years, yeah. And you have four kids. Well, three kids together.
Three boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three boys together. Four in total.
Yeah. 4 in total.
Right. Wow.
One before I met her. You know, don't want to confuse anybody.
But now, have you been in an open relationship the whole time or not?
Pretty much the whole time, yeah.
So, like, when you met...
Not open.
Oh, that's true. Okay, yes, sorry.
Not open.
That's very true, actually. Yeah. And I hate labels.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it is important to specify that it was not open at all. Not, like, in the sense that I think people talk about it. Because We started off...
Monogamous, like
I guess. Monogamous.
We're monogamous, yeah. Because basically, the first 6 months, we literally lived in a cave.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't hang out with
anybody. Literally lived in a cave.
Literally.
In his room cave.
Yeah. We didn't hang out much. We didn't interact with people. We just were under each other for about 6 months straight.
Okay.
And just, we wanted to get to know one another. We wanted to learn each other and just to, I don't know, appreciate one another.
Yeah.
And I guess we didn't want to share each other.
Right.
We were having lots of sex.
in the beginning of our relationship, what we did was we wanted to make sure our relationship was not just sexual.
Yeah, we did.
So we decided to not have sex.
We went from having lots of sex to like, let's take a break.
And see what happens.
Yeah, to make sure that we are into one another. Yeah. It's not just a lustful relationship. So we chose to do that.
Accurate that test really is, though. I'm saying, like...
Well, for me, that's big for me. Come on. You know me. That's big for me. So, you know...
Because you kind of know you're going to go back to it. You know what I mean?
But still, we didn't... You know, we didn't fall off the wagon. You know, we didn't pressure each other. We still enjoyed one another. We just lay there and we would talk.
I think there's great value in that. Yeah. I mean, I can speak from experience. As I'm sitting here now, the oxytocin of having sex with somebody... It forms these bonds, and that was always my concern, was that it was in some way inauthentic in the sense that you can't see beyond it. They did a show in England, it's called Horizon, it's a scientific program, and they did CAT scans of people's brains, and when person thought about somebody that they were having sex with and they loved, the portion of your brain that handles judgment... Mm-hmm. Stopped working. It shut down.
Yeah.
And so I see it. I see it 100%, you know what I mean? Now, does that mean that feeling of being in love is not valid? I don't know, because I have this idea that some of the best feelings you have don't have to last forever, right? I think there's value in that.
Right.
I think we definitely talked about that when we first met. We had mentioned pretty early on kind of our idea about soulmates. Mm. And that was a really deep conversation that we had, and that we both felt like we didn't believe in soulmates.
Yeah.
So we were really, really deeply in love with each other, I think. Well, no, I take that back, actually. I take that back, because it's funny what you said about the judgment part.
Yeah.
Because I felt I had no clue. I didn't know. I was scared. I was like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Well, how old were you when
I was young. I was 18.
Wow.
I was 18, and I had just gotten out of a really... I was with somebody when I met Wayne.
Oh, okay.
But that relationship was kind of...
It was ending.
Yeah.
It was coming to its end.
I kind of already emotionally checked out
she had outgrown a relationship.
Yeah, uh-huh. For sure. Yeah. Okay. And, I mean, it was 18. So, yeah, no, and then right. I was starting college and yeah. and didn't expect to meet Wayne. And when I met Wayne, it was just, it was a great, amazing night that we met. And then he...
Tell me the story. How did you meet? What was the night?
Wayne tells the story really good.
Well, I met her in a club in Hollywood. I was out with a friend.
Yeah.
And when I saw her, I instantly knew that I was like, wow, if I would ever choose to be with someone, ever to get married, you know, wow. again, or whatever. Like, I even told him, I said, yeah, that right there is the perfect, would be the perfect person. That's my future baby mama / wife, is how I said it, you know, it was jokingly.
Right.
And, just in how she carried herself. And I watched her, I observed her for a while.
Right.
I watched people come to her and I watched her interact with other people. And so when I finally got enough nerve to approach her, I approached her and her friend, so it was kind of ambiguous. Is who
what
I
was your opening line
to talk to?
Yeah,
you know, it was kind of like, "Hey, can I dance with y'all?"
Yeah,
you know, like, "Yeah,
can
yeah,
I dance with y'all?"
Yeah. So it wasn't that I was dance with either or, and you know, and I made a couple of jokes, uh-huh. and then I kind of positioned myself to where it was just focused on her, you know, and we enjoyed ourselves, and afterwards I asked her to dance again,
uh-huh.
And I tried some corny line. I was talking about some song that was popular at the time. I was like, "Hey, when they play that song, you want to dance again?" Uh-huh. And she was like, "Well, why can't we just dance now?
What if they don't ever play this song?" Like,
and actually, they did not play the song.
They did not, no. Yeah.
So she said, "Why don't we just dance now?" And we end up dancing for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And so I asked her for a phone number at the end of the night, and she said she had a boyfriend. I was crushed.
Right.
So I was mad at myself that I didn't give her my number, but I left, gave her a hug and left. And I knew what school she went to. And she had told me what school she went to.
Okay.
And I thought she was older because...
I told you I was older.
Yeah, because of the club we were in.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I thought she was older. Even though at that time I was still older than a lot older than her.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I met her. So I met her
You're
in 31. March. No. I was about to turn 31. I met you in March.
Wow.
I was 30 when I met
What
her.
A boy. Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
But I've never looked my age. So
yeah,
I can only, at 30, I can only imagine how old I looked at that time.
Right.
You know? So 2 weeks later, I came back to the same club and I ran to her friend that I knew she had saw her with.
Okay.
And so it's so goofy because in my mind, I had already planned. It's like, man, if I see her, I'd already wrote my number down before I went to the club. I said, if I see her, I'll give it to her. And hey, it is what it is. So I ended up seeing her friend. I gave it to her friend. And her friend was like, she even going to remember you? I said, I guarantee she remembers me.
Uh-huh.
And so that was on a Thursday. And so she called me 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, hey, do you know who it is? I said, of course I know who it is. I went to go visit her at her job on Sunday.
Right.
Sunday night, we talked on the phone all night long. She came over Monday to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
And we had never kissed or anything.
You know, right.
She came over to visit me Monday, and she's lived with me ever since then.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's amazing. It sort of sounds like, did you ever see When Harry Met Sally?
Yeah, that was, you know, when they keep
interviewing the couples, all the different love stories. Yeah. You seem like one of those couples. And I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to get you on here, because I always felt that sort of like love and connection between you two. And that to me was so powerful, because when people think about non-monogamy, they think that it's just about sex, and it's not at all, you know what I mean? And to see that connection between people who aren't in a traditional relationship is so important that people understand that. Because oftentimes you see people in normal traditional relationships and they don't have that connection, right? Mm. And you could make an argument, and this is kind of what I want to ask you as well, because once you sort of got beyond that honeymoon phase, the 6 months of living in your cave, and then however long it was of not having sex to make sure you're okay, then you started at least somewhat opening up in terms of going to parties, like in the lifestyle, is that what you call it?
Yeah. We had talked in the beginning. That first night we talked on the phone.
Mm.
I was honest with her. I told her everything about me. My previous relationship I was in, we didn't have a label for it. My girlfriend, she was just like a party girl type. And we would go out and we would be out and she would meet a girl. She'd be like, hey, I'm going to bring this girl home with us. So, hey, you want to go in the bathroom? This girl, it was just like, I had never experienced that. So it was the most fun I'd ever had in my in ever being in a relationship.
Similarly, yeah, I had experiences with my ex-boyfriend, which again, there was no labels, and I didn't even know of anything of any lifestyle or anything like that. I just, again, we were just, it just kind of happened experimenting, spontaneously. Exactly. And I had just started kind of experiencing women, and I didn't want to let that go, you know, when I met Wayne. I think I was still interested in that.
Yeah.
Well, were you going to say something?
No. I was going to say, and when I met her, you know, my fear was also, I had come to a realization of who I was and that I wasn't who I thought I was at first. I thought something was wrong with me possibly before, because every relationship I was in, I couldn't be honest and the fact that I always desired other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when I met her, I just wanted to be honest with her. And so we had a conversation, and then I told her that there's also like clubs and stuff that I said, man, you know, there was clubs I went to before. She's like, oh, wow, there's clubs.
There's a place.
I said, there's places. And she was like, I would love to go. I said, me too. So we researched.
Okay.
And so we had met in March, and we went to our first club. October was our first, and we just went to check it out. We didn't do anything, just went to experience. Then we didn't go back for a couple months.
Okay.
You know, we just probably had a lot of conversations, whatever, you know. And then afterwards we went back finally and had a little experience. You know, she had experience with a female and everything. It was just like, I felt like, oh man, this is awesome, because, you know, I felt somebody that I can, that we can share this together with.
Yeah.
And we can do this together and enjoy it.
So do you feel like that develop more rapport and connection between you? Because that kind of,
I think so.
When I think about my burgeoning relationship with Eri, like, she's had more experience in that regard than I have. And you ever see Chasing Amy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Ben Affleck's character in that, when he finds out that his girlfriend's past was way more experienced than his, and he freaks out and he calls her a slut and stuff like that, and eventually he comes back to realizing it was because he didn't have those experiences, so he felt small and inexperienced by comparison. Yeah. I kind of feel the same sort of way, except I don't get angry about it and whatever else, because I'm self-aware enough to know that. But a part of me goes, well, maybe if I shared those experiences with her, maybe we'd sort of develop rapport. It's just, come growing up in England, where you're sort of told sex is missionary and you just do it to make babies, et cetera, you hear any kind of what we call deviant sexual lifestyle means you're going to like break each other's hearts and all this jealousy is going to come into being. And I've met people, and perhaps you guys are some of them, that would disagree with that and say that actually it builds rapport and connection. I mean, how do you feel?
Yeah, I think we did. I mean, we spent a lot of time getting to know each other, I mean, in various elements, but there were, I think, significant times when I felt like, gosh, I could really just be me, I can really tell him these things that I haven't told anybody else.
Mm.
And there was no judgment. And I think there was a lot of curiosity between us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was intriguing, like, and listening to his stories was so intriguing. I felt like, gosh, wow, that was a great life. You had a great life, you know? And then it was a turn on. And then, you know, I don't know.
But at the same time, I realized after hearing her stories and listening to her, I realized how much more experience I had than she did.
Actual experience, right. What does that mean? I guess I mean, like, I think in my head, I was far more advanced in my head.
Right. Actually, have to go back because I understood that she didn't have as much experience as I had, and I wanted her to experience some things.
Yeah.
I actually encouraged her to go on a couple of dates when we first went together, because I told her I wanted her to know for sure is this is what she wanted.
Yeah.
And so she went on like 3 dates, and each time it was a fail, and she came.
Kind of like we were talking off air. We were saying, like, I don't know how accurate that was, because I just had no desire for anybody else.
Right.
You know, like, I tried, and it was, it was exciting in a little bit, in a sense, to kind of go out. But
so you had no desire for anybody else separately, but within shared experiences.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. Because a lot of people who I'm friends with who are very far to the traditional monogamous norm would say, well, clearly you were missing something in your relationship if you had to involve other people, you know, true love. I had a friend this past weekend who told me I would never experience true love unless I was willing to sacrifice wanting to be with somebody else.
Mm.
And I was going to die alone.
Wow.
Which is pretty strong.
I mean, I won't speak on, I guess, true love in that sense that he's talking about a romantic, but I feel like through this lifestyle, we have made so many deep connections with people.
Yeah.
We've made so many really good friends.
Uh-huh. Honest relationships. You know? Like people allowed to be themselves and just be open and honest. And I always compare it to, you know, you go to, let's say you go to a nightclub and you go in a nightclub and everybody is putting on a certain type of persona, right? Trying to present themselves in a certain way,
yeah,
or light and image, because they're trying to entice people to like them or whatever.
Right.
Find a girl to go home with or a guy to go home with. But within experiences that we have and what places we go, no one acts like that.
Huh.
Well, I wouldn't say for the most part. Okay, like that,
you're right. You're right. For the most part, most people don't act like that. Because everyone knows why they're in this environment.
Well, at least the experiences that we've had. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Like, so, there's something about being naked with somebody.
Right. Right. It takes the wall down, so you can just be open and honest, and you don't have to try to act a certain way, you know. And it's so much easier to have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah. I went to a retreat with one of the Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I'd ever been around nudists or people who were naked. And it wasn't a sexual sense, but just being naked around them, I got that sense that you were literally less covered up. You were literally more open, and people just seemed to share a lot more. And it was, I did feel very connected with a lot of the people there, you know, from that sort of level. Mm-hmm. But I just don't have those sort of experiences, though, and I don't know. Is it too late? I don't know. And here's the big thing as well, and another reason why I thought, you know, you guys had such value to come on here and talk is because you have kids together, and that makes things perhaps more complex.
For sure.
It's other things to consider, you know. We live in a world where 10, 15 years ago, people had their kids taken away from them because they were in non-monogamous relationships. Like, loving, deep, meaningful. They weren't having sex with anybody other than two people. Mm-hmm. Maybe they all lived in the same house. And they lost their kids over it. Really had to fight in the court systems to try to get that. And even now, non-monogamy doesn't have the same rights as homosexuality or anything else like that. So it's still a concern to a certain extent, but I think in California, because you're quite, it's quite an evolved state in that regard.
Exactly, yeah.
But was there anything, because I remember asking you when we had a coffee last time about how once you had a kid together, did that change your feelings? Like, did you feel more jealous and more possessive? Or did you feel less? I don't know. I've got a friend that when he got pregnant with his wife, for the first 6 months that the kid was there, he just had no interest in the kid at all because it was just this little thing that would just like be tied up in the little bandages or whatever, and it would just like cry and piss and shit, but couldn't really emote.
Yeah.
And then once it started to get 6 months and a year and he could dress it up in a football kit and, you know, almost communicate with it without words, then he sort of got into it more. So how was that experience for you? I mean, how long after you started dating did you have kids?
So maybe like 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years.
It was very fast, very quick. Yeah.
It was planned?
Not really. Well, it wasn't prevented. But it was not planned, if that
sounds
crazy. We weren't not trying to not get pregnant.
We knew we wanted to have kids with each other.
Yes.
Yeah, we weren't not trying not to get pregnant.
Right.
But, I would say non-monogamous or not, kids just definitely change the relationship, you know?
How so? What are the big things?
So for me, I think initially what kind of sprung up for me was something that I wasn't even aware of, was like the beliefs and the ideas that I had about what a family should be like. You know, what a family was like for me, what a husband, what a father, my ideas of that.
Yeah.
And then when a lot of that didn't match up, and it's not a bad thing, because it's not, I'm not dissing Wayne at all, because in fact, I mean, there were many other things that I didn't idealize in my head that came up and that I appreciate so much now. But so really what I'm saying is that it was just kind of like old programming, or realizing that, gosh, where do these beliefs come from?
Yeah.
You know, like, why do I feel like when I have a, now that we have a child, that everything has to be about the child or everything has to be about our family, you know, and I had trouble balancing that at first.
I definitely did.
And then that kind of caused resentment, you know, because Wayne didn't have the same, I don't know, like hormones and kind of chemistry things that were going on, you know, with me having the baby. And I think I even dealt with a little postpartum too and didn't realize it. So, but for him, understandably, I mean, he wasn't there having to breastfeed and, you know, he wasn't attached physically like I was to my son. And so it's kind of like, wow, how does that affect him? And what, I'm trying to think, did it change our sex? I know it was interesting because I think I was really turned on at the sight of you and him and the baby together. And it was just such a turn on. Right. And he was not feeling sexual.
Because the baby was in a room. I feel like he was watching this.
Yeah, he was so creeped out. Like he, and then like with my breath. No, I wasn't. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I was so turned on seeing him with my son. Like
not feeling sexual. We go out the room. You know, he leave the room, and
I love it. He thought he was being watched, and so
it's like people who have dogs in the room, right? Like for me, if there's a dog in the room, I'm like, stop looking at me.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. And so, because you hear a lot of the reverse, you know, but this time, no, it was, so it's like, all right, well, I don't know. And then it kind of flipped after that, but so I think that's kind of where our first hurdle was, and that the first hurdle that started, at least for me.
Yeah.
But so then you'd been to clubs before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were going out every weekend.
And that's what I was going to say. That was definitely a change for us. Like we were hanging out all the time, and then we got pregnant, we hung out a little bit. We didn't do anything. We just hung out just to go to, we love the environment. The environment just alone is so cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I tell everybody, like, you know.
And we knew everybody. Yes, I mean, it was like a community. Yes. It is a community. You know, we knew everybody. The environment,
You just go and just having open conversations with people. You know, we had a group of regular friends we hung out with. We had these new friends we had met, but we were more open with our new friends we had met because we could just be ourselves and talk openly and honestly. It was so comfortable. But I think one of the things to go back, I remember that she had certain ideas of how a marriage was supposed to be, you know, and I've always thought that, you know, that it's such a facade that's put out there for people to, they believe that this certain type of relationship is attainable, but it's not. You know, they watch these television shows and they see these perfect relationships that are so scripted and not real. And anybody who is in a relationship know that everybody deal with things, monogamy or non-monogamy. We all deal with similar things, you know.
Yeah.
And monogamous relationships fail, non-monogamous relationships fail, you know. And once you understand that you can't be that, like that, you know, you have to be your own. And, we realized that at an early stage that we had to create our own relationship, form our own, what worked for us.
Yeah.
What works for us doesn't work for somebody else.
Sure.
And so forth. So once we were able to do that, I think that, you know, we were able to move forward and get past some of the resentment, you know, and feelings of disappointment, you know, that we had early on after we had the baby. But yeah, as far as like having a baby goes, oh my God, it changed so much. Like we couldn't just get up and go. We wanted to go.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'm trying to sort of tease apart the logistical issues of having kids to where the kid's crying, you've got to take care of it. Therefore you don't have the free time, and the emotional issues in the sense of, did it change your desire to be non-monogamous? Because I don't even know if Eri's pregnant at this point. And the way my brain's working now, I'm like this alpha male that I've never been before in my life. Like, I just want to, like, any guy looks at her, I just want to punch him. You know what I mean? And I've never really felt this before.
I don't think it affected you that way, but
no?
I don't know. Did it?
No, well, again, I say it didn't affect me like that because we had a strong bond. Like we had already built a good, strong foundation, so I didn't have any. I didn't have any reason to worry.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have any reason to fear anything, and nor did you. So we were there for each other in that sense.
I kind of went through, but maybe for different reasons, though. So I don't. No, for us personally, I would say no. Yeah. It didn't.
Because perhaps you'd already built that strong foundation. I mean, 2 years is a long time. I've known Eri for 6 months.
Yeah.
And when we first met, it was for the express purpose of making a child together.
Right.
It's really only the last month, 2 months, 3 months that the romantic side of it has, mm-hmm. has sort of developed.
Yeah.
Which isn't a long time, but I'm a great believer in intuition and mm-hmm. you have a good feeling, and I've got a really good feeling. I mean, Christ, I agreed to have a kid with someone. I'd have to have a pretty good feeling about them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that seems to be there, but it's not 2 years. And we haven't had the experiences that you guys had that could have split up some relationships right. that actually made your relationship stronger.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm in this kind of situation now where I don't have 2 years to build this strong foundation to then have a kid.
Yeah.
And so do I go, you know what, you're going to have a kid now and focus on that, or do I go, you can do both at the same time? So that was part one. Aren't they lovely? There'll be more from them next week, including Wayne talking about the strength of their relationship and how he knew from very early on.
Once we got together and we established a certain type of relationship, I knew that I never wanted to be without her. I can look back on the relationships I had been in and realize that this is the one that I want to be with and don't want to be without.
I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth, another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule. Hello.